You are listening to School of Talk. We are creating a world where every child experiences the power of a great teacher. We believe education is the answer. It has the power to conduct change, improve lives, unlock ideas, create opportunities, and build connections. It's the single greatest investment we can make today to create a better tomorrow. That's why we're on a mission to train, inform, and inspire educators around the world. Each week, we dive into a topic related to education, teaching, and learning. Whether you're an educator by trade or an educator by spirit, we've got something for you. Open up your mind and get ready to soak in some new learning. Class is in session. Today's episode is brought to you by TeachAway. TeachAway offers a full suite of services to schools, aspiring and current teachers. From helping travel lovers get certified to teach abroad, to offering international recruitment solutions for schools, to providing world-renowned professional development courses, TeachAway is here to create a world where every student experiences the power of a great teacher.
Okay, Mia. So my first question for you is, I would love to know a little bit about what inspired you to become an educator in the first place?
Great question, Michelle. I would say, I don't know if you're a fan of Boy Meets World, but I grew up watching the show Boy Meets World, and there was a principal, Mr. Feeney, who really changed my idea of what it means to be an educator. He always talked to his students and gave the message of, like, believe, try, and do good. And I think that really impacted me, knowing, wow, I could do that too. I can make a difference in someone's life, like Mr. Feeney. So,
oh my goodness, 90s kids are freaking out right now.
Let's talk about Boy Meets World all day long. I'm happy to do it.
So you were inspired by a character, but like such an amazing iconic one.
That was the
I agree.
Start. I mean, later on, I had a couple of teachers who like truly changed the course of my career path and my life by just believing in me and giving me the skills I needed to get to where I wanted to be. And I've always wanted to be that person for someone else. So
that's fantastic. I love that you're kind of paying it forward here with you, what inspired you to be a teacher, and now you're kind of giving it back to the kids. What are you teaching right now?
So I teach English as a second language, and I've been doing that for about 7 years. I've dabbled in a few other subjects, taught financial literacy in Cape Town, South Africa. Not sure I was the most qualified, but it was a great way to learn. and I've also taught some basic computer skills as well. But I love teaching English because it's an avenue for learning a lot about other cultures and sharing what you know as well. So it's a really good fit for me, I think.
And you said you've been teaching ESL for about 7 years now.
Yes.
How did you get into
that? Oh my goodness. I never thought I would be a teacher, honestly. but I have such a love for traveling and a love for learning. And I would say I did a semester abroad in South Africa. And prior to that, I was studying special education in school, in college, and I was kind of bored. I hate to say it, but I was kind of bored learning how to teach. I really wanted to be learning about the world around me, learning about the subjects, as opposed to just like teaching classroom management, things like that. So I did a semester abroad in Cape Town and came back, and I thought, okay, I need to continue traveling. I need to continue opening my mind up to the world. And eventually, I got plugged into an intentional community in rural Georgia, the state Georgia. And I was working with newly arrived immigrants and refugees and loved learning from them. But my role there was teaching English. It was the first time I had really done that more than a few hours during the day. And I just fell in love with it. It was just such a great way to learn about the world. And eventually it led me to teach abroad and travel.
That's amazing. So you had a little bit of experience. Did you have to go and get certified in any way to teach abroad and travel?
So my first job abroad was in Japan. my first teaching job abroad was in Japan, and I didn't need any certificate. I know now schools prefer having that certificate, but for me, because I had had 2 years in college doing field placements, I was pretty confident in how to plan a class, like plan a lesson, and in theory, I knew about classroom management. But mm-hmm. I always recommend for people who don't have that experience to get an in-person TEFL certificate, because it can just make you a lot more hireable. But I ended up getting a TEFL certificate 3 years ago for my online teaching job. So I know there are two different forms too. You can do it in person, and it's usually more expensive but really valuable, or you can kind of get like the quick TEFL certificate online, and that's what I did, but it was because I had experience to back it up.
That's great. That's wonderful. And you said that now you teach, do you teach both online and in person now, or one or
the other? So before the pandemic, everything's before the pandemic, I was teaching in person in Thailand, and loved my job. And at the same time, I was teaching in the evenings online. So I was kind of balancing both those jobs. And after the pandemic, it was just my whole world changed. Ended up coming back to the States, but I was so grateful to continue teaching online. So I kept doing that for the last 2 years. And now I'm hoping to get back to in-person teaching again. Yeah, there's a lot of good things to say about both online and in-person.
Yes, I think online I've heard there's a good amount of flexibility, especially if you are in a different country. You can travel around, you can see the sights. But of course, in person is always fun, and you know, you get to connect with the kids in a different way.
Exactly, so. Exactly. I will say I've gotten pretty used to that flexibility. It's really refreshing. I just got back from Costa Rica, and it was refreshing to know I could just hop over there, teach online, and I was also taking Spanish classes too. So you can really design like the life that you want, the lifestyle you want from teaching online, but that in-person interaction is really nice too.
Absolutely. And so you've taught in, you said, South Africa, you've lived in Costa Rica. Where are some other places you've been?
So I spent, so in terms of other countries, I spent the most time teaching abroad in Japan, almost 2 years. And Thailand, I worked at a boarding school there. And I also worked online and tried out living in different cities there. I've had some experience teaching in Myanmar or Burma for a while. Yeah, but I'm lucky to call a couple of countries home. So
that's incredible. And is it ever stressful? Is it hard, or do you just love it?
Everyone always asks me how I do it. Like, I get a lot of comments saying like, "Oh, you must be so courageous. I can't imagine like picking everything up and just moving abroad." And especially in a country where I don't speak the language. And I just love the thrill of it. But I have the same fears as everyone else. I read the news, and the news always shows the worst. And my recommendation for anyone wanting to get started is to book a ticket, apply for that job, get yourself kind of locked in so you can't really back out, and just go. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be scared at first. But the more you do it, the more of a practice it becomes. And solo travel and living abroad is one of the most empowering things you can do. So I even started a little coaching group to help people get to that point. You can find me at miaonthemap.com. But I just love helping other people take that leap, because it changed my life, and I know it can change other people's lives as well.
That's amazing. And what age level do you teach?
Ooh, all ages. So I started in Japan. I was teaching all ages. The youngest student I had was 3, and up until like adult. I don't normally have enough coffee to get through full-time teaching with children. So I prefer, yes. I prefer working with adults. But teaching kids has its benefits as well. They just know how to like warm your heart and so I've had experience with both.
Well, that's so rewarding too, just to be able to try different different avenues of teaching. And I was a teacher and I taught younger kids, but I would imagine working with adults and being able to connect with them in a different way would be so rewarding in itself. So that's very cool that you get to experience mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, it definitely offers a different flavor, but yeah.
So what's your daily life like? Where are you living now? You said you're in Indiana right now.
Yeah, I don't really have a home base. And I think traveling around so much has made me want to have more of a home base. So I'm planning on moving to a small town in Georgia in the States. But I hope to continue teaching abroad and traveling. I have a really strong relationship with my students in Thailand. And so I would love to do something where I'm partnering with them somehow. I've been teaching them regularly once a week, and it's just good to keep in touch. So yeah, I would consider Georgia a home base.
Very good. I've heard, I know you've mentioned Thailand a couple of times. I've never been.
Oh, Michelle, you have to go.
But I have heard, I have got to go. I have heard the best things about Thailand, the people, the culture, everything about it.
Yes, it's amazing. I'm the type of person that likes a little less structure in a place. So Thailand offers that like adventure, but it also offers things for any type of traveler. They have like luxury travel. You've got beaches, you've got the jungle, you've got delicious food everywhere. And for solo female travelers, it's one of my number one like recommended countries. It's so easy to travel around, pretty safe. It's it's just so much fun. You have to go. I have recommendations if you end up going.
Okay, we will connect after. I would love to go. It sounds amazing. And yeah, I think that's really good to know too, because I think a lot of solo travelers, probably particularly female solo travelers, would have some hesitations because, like you mentioned, the news is scary and there's lots of reasons holding you back. You could come up with a lot of excuses why not to do something. But I think it's nice to hear from someone like yourself who's done it, that it's maybe not as scary as it sounds.
It's not, and you're never alone. I think when people think of solo travel, they think, oh, I'm just gonna like, I'm not gonna be able to talk to anyone. I won't know how to get around. And there are moments where you are alone, but there are so many people just like you who are doing the same thing. So many different ways to connect with people. But also being a solo traveler, it makes you a bit more approachable. And I find it's the best way to learn about a culture, because people are more willing to come up to you and say hi. Whereas if you're with a group, it's a little bit different feel.
Definitely. I totally understand that. And just jumping back to your experiences as a teacher, you said that you have taught predominantly adults and you've taught them English as a second language. Mm-hmm. What's a typical day for you as a traveling teacher?
Yeah. It's different if I'm teaching online versus teaching in the classroom. If I'm with, so I taught at a private school that had like a set curriculum, but when I walk into the classroom every day, my routine's kind of the same. I always want to make sure my students are feeling comfortable with me and comfortable with each other, because teaching English is a little bit different. You have to get people talking, and it's really hard to do that if you're not comfortable with the people around you. So I always start with some type of icebreaker, warm-up game, something that gets students talking and a little bit out of their own heads, where they're thinking about someone else, maybe some group team building activities, things like that. And then we would jump into whatever like the target goal is for that day. And then teaching online, it depends which platform you work for, but one of the platforms I work for is Cambly. And that is a conversation-based company. And so each student is different, but I often start with just general, like, get to know you questions. How was your week? If it's a regular student, tell me like highlights of your week and something you want to work on. And then sometimes we read news articles or play games. There's a lot of resources out there if someone's trying to figure out how to start teaching. One really good website I like is called stickyball.net. And another one I use for news articles or like lesson planning is called Engoo, like E-N-G-O-O. It's really useful.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because, you know, I spoke to someone else last week, and it's so important as a teacher, like you don't have to reinvent the whole wheel
yeah.
find things that are already out there, find things that will work well for you, right, and pick a few things to stick to instead of trying to like invent everything yourself. Yeah. It's so overwhelming.
Yes, it can be. And you're right. Like, don't reinvent the wheel. Somebody else has already done it and it's worked well for them. So as long as you can add your own flavor to it and your own unique style of teaching, I think it's going to be okay. And you're going to do a great job. I also tell people, like, the best resource you have is yourself, right? Like, if you are in a place where you don't have any materials, maybe you don't have any props, use yourself, like do some big gestures or draw pictures, things like that to connect with your students too. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah. I think people appreciate, like, you're in a new place, you're vulnerable in a sense, they're learning a new language, so they feel a little vulnerable. I think there's a place that we can kind of find some common ground there and work from.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I also recommend, like, if someone is teaching English specifically, it's really good to also be learning another language or to have that experience abroad, because it gives you so much more empathy for that fear that your students might have on the first day. You kind of understand what that process is like. So,
absolutely. That's such a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. What would you say is the hardest part about traveling and teaching abroad?
A great question. It's not so much the teaching part, I think. It's more so being abroad when you might be missing some big events back home. That was kind of the hardest part for me. I don't often get homesick, but there are times where maybe it's Christmas and you don't have vacation time to go back home, or maybe you've got a friend getting married, things like that. You kind of have to learn how to build your own community where you're at, and that takes time, and that's okay that takes time, and it's okay to feel homesick, but it's a challenge definitely of living abroad. And if you're living in a place where the culture is totally different, so the first time I experienced like big culture shock was in Japan, give yourself some grace and know, like, you're not gonna know how to do everything perfectly. That's fine. You may not know how to communicate. That's okay. Give yourself some grace and know, like, you'll get there. And it takes practice. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And it's such a good point, because I would imagine I would probably feel a little homesick if I went to a different place for a long time by myself. Are there any tips you have about finding a community? Are the schools that you've worked in, are there other teachers that you made friends with, or how does that work?
Yes. This is like one of my favorite things to do, is just finding different ways to connect people and for me to build a community. So if you start off teaching abroad, you do kind of have that built-in community already with your school, but it takes an effort. So when I went to Japan, I just remember thinking, I want to get to know my coworkers. I want to be friends, because we're spending the majority of our days together in the classroom. So I would have once a month parties in my apartment, just like bring food. We'll do like a cultural exchange thing. And it really launched into this, it just gave me a really good feeling of knowing people on a deeper level. I also recommend using Couchsurfing. So Couchsurfing, there are a ton of different sites out there. Host a Sister is one for female travelers, but you can always reach out to people in whatever country you're in and ask. You don't have to be hosted. You don't have to spend the night at their place, but you can ask for, like, oh, I want to get to know someone here. I would love to get to know the city. Are you free to, like, give me a tour? That's a great way. Also, sitting in a coffee shop by yourself. Surprisingly, I've met a lot of people doing that, or some type of restaurant. Just be approachable if you want to be approached, and smile, say hi. Other people are probably more shy than you are, so it really helps to take that first step and say hi, and it's a lot easier than you think it might be.
That is so cool. I've never even heard of some of those websites you mentioned, so those are great for people to know about.
I've got a long list, and I'm happy to give more recommendations. Feel free to reach out anytime.
Thank you. And Jim, you said you taught in a private school. How many people would have been in your class at one time?
So
Students,
it varied. I had my smallest class size was 2 students.
Oh, that's so nice.
Right? I know. I think like I love smaller class sizes. I think 5 students is also a good number. My biggest class size was 18 students, and it was mostly high school boys. And it was a good challenge and a fun class to figure out, but definitely varies.
Very cool. Very cool. Even with 18, like all the teachers in North America are jealous because 18 is like the smallest class.
Right. That's the benefit of like working at a private school, I think, because class sizes are usually smaller. Public school. I had some friends who worked in public schools in Japan, and you get like maybe 18 is the smallest size, and 40 or 50 or 60 is what to expect. So.
Wow. Okay. And I've asked you what the hardest part about teaching abroad is. What is the best or most rewarding part?
It is the most empowering thing you can do, and it is fun. Like, I think a lot of people think that life is going to be so different and so challenging. And in many ways, it's you're working, you're building community. It's really similar to your life back home, yet you're in a new place. Every weekend you can go explore somewhere. You can meet new people. You're out of your comfort zone. And I think when you know that you're able to do those things yourself, you're able to learn how to manage the train system. You're able to know what food you like at the grocery store and know how to cook it, which is surprisingly difficult if everything's in a different language. And it is a script, yes. And it's like, oh, I don't know what I'm buying, but I'm going to buy it and figure it out. It's really
got to Google a lot of things. Oh,
Google Translate was really helpful. They have like the image where you can just take a picture and it'll translate it. That's great. But I think the feeling of empowerment and confidence you'll have after knowing you can do those things sticks with you for the rest of your life. Like, and you'll want to keep doing it over and over again.
That, I love that. I think it's about building up that resilience a little bit to things that scare you, and then realizing that they're actually not that scary once you're in it, and it's actually probably closer to your normal life than you expect it to be.
Absolutely.
Once you get past those little hurdles, like you mentioned, like a language barrier and things like
that.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can kind of create the life that you want. I think it's refreshing when you're in a new place and nobody knows you. So you have the chance to just be who you want.
That's so cool. Like reinvent yourself, you know?
Right.
And Mia, I just want to ask you if there's a single message or something that you want to close us off with, a recommendation, an idea.
I want to give a message, I think, for anyone who's on the fence about taking that leap to move abroad, to just do it. Just go. Start scared. Start uncomfortable. Because it will change your life. And I'm here to help you along the way if you need it. So feel free to send me a message at Mia on the Map on Instagram or miaonthemap.com. I would love to see you take that leap. And I'd love to help coach you along the way. So you can do it. Yay.
That's amazing. I love it. Thank you so much,
Thank
Mia.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks again to TeachAway for sponsoring today's episode. If you're interested in teaching abroad, if you absolutely love to travel, or if you've been cooped up in your home for the last year and a half and are itching for an adventure, TeachAway can help you see the world while teaching English abroad. They're hosting an information session that will explain to you how you can teach English online or abroad. And by signing up for the session, School of Talk listeners will receive a 20% off coupon to use toward one of TeachAway's internationally recognized TEFL courses. So head over to go.teachaway.com/podcast to learn more about teaching and living abroad and find out where teaching can take you. That's go.teachaway.com/podcast to sign up for the free session and receive a 20% off coupon for one of their TEFL courses. go.teachaway.com/podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of School of Talk. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you love today's episode, share this out with a friend. Class is dismissed.